Hello and welcome to a Read Write Web podcast. My name is David Strom and I'm here talking today with Adrian Lamo, who, as many of you know who read our website and others, was one of the figures in the WikiLeaks Manning case. Adrian, it's really good to talk to you again after all these years.
Indeed, it's been a long time and it's an unusual circumstance to reconnect under.
Yeah, that's to be sure. Who would have thought that when we met almost a decade ago that, as you said, you'd be involved in one of the biggest intelligence leaks in history and be on probably what most of your hacker colleagues would say is the other side of the issue?
Well, you know, to that, I would say that they enjoy their ability to hack, their freedom to navigate networks, to enjoy unfiltered internet access, thanks to the national security that's afforded to us by brave men and women who maintain vigilance and keep our country safe. And they, in turn, require secrecy in order to do some aspects of their job. It's just a fact of life. And when that secrecy is eroded, those freedoms are put in danger. So while it may look as though is an attack on freedom of information to prosecute Bradley Manning, in fact, this prosecution is, among other things, about upholding the fundamental values that allow hacking, exploration, and curiosity to continue, unlike so many countries where free will and curiosity are discouraged.
So you said that this decision to turn Manning in was one of the most difficult ones of your life. Why did you do it?
Because I had a choice. I could screw over a friend, someone who I had come to consider a friend who had confided in me, or I could screw over countless strangers who would never know one way or the other what action I had taken, but whose safety, whose secrecy, whose sanctity would be placed at risk as a result of the dissemination of the information regarding their operations, regarding their names, regarding what they did, how they did it, when they did it, where they did it. In the end, as I've said before, the good of the many outweighed the good of the one. There were no winners here. I had to take two options and take the one that was less wrong.
I can't even imagine. So you've been vilified in the hacker community for this decision. Do you regret what you've done?
I regret that Bradley Manning did not contact me before he leaked the documents that he did. I regret that he didn't come to me for advice prior to essentially defecting to a hostile foreign interest. I regret that I was ever put in the position that I ended up in. I regret that my friend is in prison today for his actions. I see him the same way I would any other individual who I've come to know and have friendship, kinship with, who has done something reprehensible. If one of my friends committed murder, they would still be my friend, and I would still be there to see them behind the glass wall.
How did your friendship with Manning happen?
He messaged me out of a clear blue sky. I had no idea who he was. He apparently had some idea of who I was. He took some measures to get my attention, sent me a PGP encrypted email to an old key that I couldn't read. I suggested that we chat via AIM instead, and we began talking.
So do you think that the role for WikiLeaks is a good one? Are you happy about what's happened with the cache of cabled documents that they've obtained?
I don't think it's a matter of whether it's a good or a bad thing. Part of the matter is that it's happened and that the world of diplomacy has to respond appropriately. And I think ultimately the cables really reveal a hard-working diplomatic corps doing its job competently. I haven't seen any egregious scandals or attempts to topple Banana Republic or CIA plots that have come out of that, and I don't believe anyone else has either.
But don't you think that both the State Department and the DOD made mistakes by widely disseminating access or having wide access to this kind of information that enabled low-level people like Manning to collect this information?
Well, security clearances are not granted by rank, but rather by need to know. And his MOS, his military occupational specialty, gave him a need to know in this circumstance. After 9/11, because of the intelligence sharing failures that led to that tragic event, we began to share intelligence more widely. And that intelligence sharing program is what allowed Bradley Manning to have the access that he did. And it's my hope that the pendulum was not going to swing back to the other side of having information be kept locked up and hidden away as a result of the actions of one confused young man. I think that there's still a need for that kind of openness. I think it's done more good than harm. I think that the intelligence community has benefited from it.
Do you specifically see a place for you, a person of your technical talents, to work with traditional reporters to help them mine information and interpret large amounts of data like this?
I've been working with reporters for roughly 11 years now, and during all that time, I've been interpreting technical data for them. So I think that that role exists. It's just unrecognized. There are no bylines for people like me. We simply serve a role and do it happily.
Do you think that the mainstream media, like the Times and so forth, acted responsibly with this disclosure? Do they publish too much or not enough information?
It's hard for me to say. I don't have standing to dictate to the Times what they should or should not print, although at one point I could have.
Yeah, really, when you hacked into their servers.
But
how do you react to the government's complaints that these leaks were endangering lives of our agents and troops? Do you feel that that's true?
I think it's absolutely true, and I think that without the early warning that we received that these leaks had taken place, then we would have seen casualties as a result. There have been no reported casualties, but you have to remember that there is a wall on CIA headquarters composed of stars with no names, simply stars honoring the fallen, never revealing who they were. And as such, the casualties of this kind of information war may never be known.
That's a good point. So if the State Department were to consult with you to recommend how they should classify and distribute this kind of information, would you give them any particular recommendations? Would you change the way that they're doing things?
Well, I would posit that an analyst in the Middle East does not have a need to know when it comes to data outside of Middle Eastern regions and Middle Eastern affairs.
So to make it more compartmentalized, you would say?
The pendulum has to swing back a little bit more to make it more compartmentalized. Not necessarily because that will make us safer, but because it's necessary in our society to create that kind of security theater to show that we're reacting, that we're being responsible, even if it makes the situation worse by decreasing the amount of access that somebody actually has when they need to do their job.
Yeah, isn't this sort of the equivalent of taking your shoes off at the airport? It's not really creating a safer flight for anyone. It's just, as you say, security theater.
In the course of natural human events, that pendulum is going to keep on swinging. There's no doubt about that.
So what about some advice for enterprise IT managers? how to handle company proprietary documents. Are you surprised that we're still discussing encryption and the fact that very few people use it in the normal course of business events?
Don't use encryption in the course of business events because I don't use electronic means of communication for anything important. I'm a little bit of a Luddite when it comes to getting anything important communicated. If it absolutely positively has to be read, then it's getting FedExed.
That's kind of funny. You've come full circle. So what are you doing now for a living?
I'm continuing to do security consulting, public speaking, and security training. I am also taking time to try to step outside of myself a little bit, take an objective look at my life. I had a recent bout with pneumonia that laid me up in the hospital for a while, which as it did the last time that it happened, made me think about my own mortality. So business has perhaps taken a back burner to introspection and trying to figure out what the next 10 years are going to bring, because Lord knows I could never have predicted what the past 10 did.
Exactly, exactly. It's been a real pleasure talking to you again, Adrian. I really value our friendship, and I hope that you can continue to thrive in your endeavors, and I appreciate your time talking to me today.
It's been great talking to you, and if the need should ever arise, you're welcome to crash on my couch at my undisclosed location.
Thank you very much. We're talking with Adrian Lamo from of hacker fame and WikiLeaks fame, and this is David Strom from Read Write Web.